Let's hear from the rest of the cast, beginning with Shannon Henry Kleiber.
When I came to TT Book, I had been a print journalist for many, many years at the Washington Post, and I'd written two books. But this whole world of audio opened up just an entirely different perspective for me as a journalist and as a person.
I fell in love with public radio at the very beginning of my working life. I loved the ideas and the approach to journalism, but also the medium, sound, the music of language, the texture and timbre of human voices, the whole orchestra of a landscape. And one of the great pleasures of the last decade or so has been watching Shannon Henry Kleiber, a print journalist, make the same discovery.
I think there's something that radio can do that goes beyond the written word. It's about hearing the emotion in people's voices on the air, laughing or crying, the way people's voices go up or down when they're passionate or surprised or something happens in the conversation. I think it's actually a poetic form of journalism, and it's an intimate relationship between us and listeners, and I am so grateful to have been part of it on this show.
And I'm thinking about all the times you've taken your recording gear and gone someplace to record also that, you know, the song of a place.
Yeah, I've had a great experience recording in an operating room of a kidney transplant operation and in the streets of New York City for the Dorothy Day Show, where we were tracking the miracles of potential Catholic saint Dorothy Day.
That was such a great hour.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it took me out to the Staten Island Ferry that's called the Dorothy Day, and all around the streets of New York City. It was pretty powerful.
So I asked everybody to bring a piece of audio, something that they wanted to play, to listen back to and talk a bit about. Tell us what you brought in.
I brought an interview with Alice Walker, the poet and novelist, that I did about 6 years ago. It was also a time of a lot of political upheaval. But when I hear it again today, it sounds like we did the interview yesterday because of what's going on in our country, in our world, in our hearts. And I just felt like we needed to hear that again. Kind of a little gesture, a little suggestion about how to live our lives. Alice, we are living in a time when so many of us are angry. I wanted to ask you about how you feel about that. Is anger useful? Is anger constructive? How do you use anger in your life?
Well, anger is awakening, which is very good. It's a fuel that can be used for creativity and all kinds of other things. I think people might find it useful to figure out a way to channel it into the circle of people who you need to change things. You know, find those people. Let your anger guide you away from what is dangerous and perilous and toward what is useful.
The title of your most recent book, Taking the Arrow Out of the Heart, is that about anger? Is that about using things for good? Tell me how you came up with that title.
Well, I was suffering very much from dissolving a marriage with someone I really loved many years ago, and nothing saved me from despair but meditation. So I learned how to do meditation in the 70s, I think it was. But then again, I fell in love many years later, and trying to deal with the pain of that led me to a Buddhist nun whose name is Pema Chodron, who has done incredible work in teaching some ancient Tibetan practices about freeing your heart. One of them, very briefly, is to learn how to acknowledge the arrow that is in your heart, whether it's from, you know, romantic love or dissolving of a marriage or a family, or whether it's whatever it is. But whatever it is, we acknowledge that we are suffering and the arrow has landed in our hearts. What many people do is they spend most of their time yelling at the person who shot the arrow and very little time trying to get the arrow out. And if you don't get the arrow out, then it festers and it turns against you. So the practice from these ancient Tibetans is that you learn, you actually train to take care of your own heart and to get the arrow out. And then you can begin to, you know, or maybe even simultaneously, you can work against the archer. But it's futile to go after the archer without tending to your own wound.
It's a powerful way of thinking about anger, that somebody is angry at you and shooting you, and you, instead of fighting against them, kind of stop and say, I need to tend to myself. I need to not bleed to death. Are we able to do that?
Of course we are.
What needs to happen to encourage that more? Yeah, because we do. You know, someone shoots us, we do get angry.
Right.
So how do we change that?
Well, I was thinking about this morning, you know, as I go along with this book and I'm talking to people about these practices, and I thought, oh, but you have to tell them that they have to spend time to do this. It's not like they can do it once and it's, you know, it took me a year basically to take out a particular arrow. And that's, again, one of those areas where in our country, often people really are not prepared to work on themselves. I mean, they can work a lot about this or that, but when it comes to working on the self, distraction is a big magnet.
What really drives you right now to keep writing poetry?
Oh, the world is full of everything to drive everybody. I mean, mm-hmm. We should all be writing poems. It's a time of incredible sadness, which is rich ground for poetry. It's a time of rage. It's a time of frustration and despair and heartbreak and sorrow and the sense that the earth has turned against us finally for being so abusive of her. And there are no longer any golden countries left. This one certainly isn't. I think it's a good time for all of us to offer what we have in the way of, my parents would call it, salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think you cannot go wrong with having more silence in your life, more meditation, beginning to really understand from deep within yourself who you are and what you're about and how to channel your anger.
Mm-hmm. That is so beautiful. The connection between the two of you, what she's saying, the entire thing is a poem.
Yeah.
I think one thing I really want listeners to know about you in particular and what your voice and sensibility as an interviewer and a producer has added to this show is healing. You've used all that journalistic sensibility, that kind of beyond just the what are we talking about in the headlines, but how is this resonating for us in our bodies and our psyches and our spirits, and then producing to that? This Alice Walker conversation is just a perfect example. I think that was a time, as you said, of so much anger. We were, all of us, trying to figure out, how do we live with so much anger around us? What do we do with our own anger if we want to bring love into the world? What do you do? Anyway, thank you. And I know we'll find ways to keep doing things together.
Yes,
so
that's right.
Shannon, I also know that listeners are going to want to know, what's next for Shannon? Where is she going to go? What is she going to do? How do we stay in touch?
Well, I will be working on some writing and audio projects, and I've started a newsletter. That's a way to keep in touch. The newsletter is called Cadence on Writing and Sound. And
oh, I love that.
Do you like it?
Okay. Yeah, I love that.
Good. Oh, I'm glad. It's new. So it's a literary and audio online magazine in a way, and it's a way to talk about what we're all reading and listening to, and I hope it becomes a community.
You can find a link to it, keep up with everything Shannon does, and read and listen to her work online at shannonhenrykleiber.com.